Thank you guys so much for listening to the All Our Favorite People podcast. If you like what you hear, go check out the All Our Favorite People community on Patreon. That's patreon.com/allourfavoritepeople. And for as little as $3 a month, you can help us keep the podcast growing as we add live shows and events.
We're also offering you exclusive access into planning episodes, as well as off-the-cuff interactive bonus content that we just can't fit into the show. You'll find out who's coming on the show first and possibly get a shout out on the podcast.
I don't know why I wanted to laugh at you just then. Check it out on Patreon. That's patreon.com/allourfavoritepeople. Hi, I'm Ashley Eicher.
I'm Hunter Kelly.
And welcome to an all new episode of the All Our Favorite People podcast. Today we have the fabulous Caitlin Smith.
Caitlin Smith, and she is releasing the Deluxe edition, reimagined edition of her sophomore album, Supernova. And it features a new version of her song, I Can't, with Old Dominion.
It is so good. This project, Supernova, actually came out earlier this year, just as we all went into quarantine. So Caitlin tells us what it's like to release an album right before a pandemic.
Yes.
And then how it's evolved over the last several months as she's been performing virtual concerts from her home.
Well, another thing I love about talking with Caitlin is she has really forged her own path, musically speaking, here in Nashville. Yes. So she's written hit songs for Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers, their last duet, You Can't Make Old Friends, and John Legend and Meghan Trainor, Like I'm Gonna Lose You. That's the title, right? You love that song.
Like I'm Gonna Lose You. Yeah, that's it. I had to think about it for a second.
You love that
song. I haven't had enough coffee yet.
But yes, but she's really forged a path for herself to do rock, a little R&B, a little whatever she wants to in there. So it's really, for all of you creatives out there, this is a really fascinating journey through her thought process and emotional process of getting to the point where she can do whatever she wants.
Well, and she's just so lovely.
She's just so lovely.
So we talk about her kids and raising kids and just being a mom. And then we also had this great idea that she, Ashley Monroe, and Lucy Silvas should do a record together.
Yes. I did mention that to Ashley, and Ashley Monroe has a new project she's working on. So it may have to wait until 2022, but hopefully we can make it happen.
I love how I feel like in every single episode, we sort of float in these suggestions to people of what we want to see them do next.
Right? Like, basically, we just need to manage everybody.
Well, I don't know that that's a good idea, but I think we want to put some things into the world that we want to see happen.
Yes.
Be the change you want to see in the world, Hunter.
Be the supergroup projects you want to listen to. No, suggest the supergroup projects you want to listen to.
Yes, that is it. That is it. Well, let's just get to it. This is Caitlin Smith. For this, thank you guys so much for having me. This is going to be really fun.
Oh yeah!
Oh my gosh, we were so excited, and the timing works out great.
Works out awesome! Yay!
Yay! How has your morning been? I know you said you were getting ready for a bunch of video chats.
Really good. I've got two little boys, and so my mornings start a little earlier than maybe I would. Like,
are you at like a 5 a.m., 5:30?
Oh, no.
Oh, Lord.
It's actually probably way sleep in compared to most parents. We put our kids on like a later schedule. So they're up at like 7, but I love sleeping in.
Yeah, because these are rock and roll kids. I mean, usually if life were normal, they'd be on the road right now, right?
Exactly. If life were normal, like we normally put them to bed like closer to the 9 so they could usually catch part of the show and see some music before we kiss them goodnight. And then it's nice to sleep in a little bit in the morning if we can, if we don't have flights and stuff on the road. So we have them on rock and roll time for sure. And it works.
How old is your youngest? Because I think the last time I saw you perform live, you were about to have the baby.
Yes. Yeah, so can you believe it? He's going to be 2 in November.
Oh,
I know.
That sounds right. That sounds right to me.
It's perfect. He's like the perfect, like squishy age. And he's got such an opinion. So I know I have my hands full with number 2 for sure.
But it's like, you're probably in watching his personality come out too.
Yeah. He's got quite the personality. So.
Are they really different? Are your kids' personalities really different?
Very, very different. I feel like my first is is really, he's more like my husband, you know, a little bit more of a safety ranger, a little bit more. He loves his alone time. He's very thoughtful, like very, I just think maybe that's also like older child scenario. And then number two is like ready for the party at all times. He's like the daredevil. I'm like losing my mind with number two. So they're like completely different dudes, but they play really well. So it's cute.
I mean, so cute. So cute. And they still have like at two, they still have like the little chubby fat kid hands.
Oh my gosh. And that, hamburger feet. Like my kid, both my kids, their feet don't grow like this way. Like as fast as they grow up. I don't know why they have the biggest squishy feet. So I'll take it.
I mean, sweet and little bubbas.
I know. It's pretty
little thing. Is there nap time? What time is nap time?
You know what? God bless the nanny. I've got a nanny. And so she took the kids to the park and a picnic. She's going to be taking them out of the house today. It's really nice. So grateful.
So again, I ask, what time is nap time? Yesterday, mine happened at 2:30. It just happened.
Yes. Yeah, mine happened. Usually we put them down like around 1:30 to 2, somewhere around that range. The oldest goes down sooner, you know, and then it just depends. Even if the oldest one doesn't want to nap, I'm like, quiet time in your room.
Yeah.
Mama needs
A little.
Mama needs a break.
Mama needs a break, but you also need a little break. Go read some books. And everybody needs a break, okay? I'm going to hold on a nap time as long as possible.
Yes.
They're so cute. I love the video that you did that has video of them, but also video from your childhood.
Oh, my gosh. Okay,
so great.
I mean, this video just came out. It's for the song Supernova. And I am so excited about this one. You know, I was digging through home footage and I found my parents had a ton of footage around like 4 years old, 3 and 4 years old, which is right where my kids are at. And so the whole idea with this Supernova music video, you know, is to show that time goes so quickly, but to show like me at four. And then all of a sudden now I have kids at four and it's like, and it's just like, bam, it goes so fast. And it's quite heartwarming and adorable.
Well, and I just love that song. Like, I remember the first time I heard that song, I was like, I'm going to need to listen to this a few more times.
Thank you.
And just this idea of like the supernova being like the brightest star. And that's how bright we should shine.
Absolutely.
Or try to, I guess.
I mean, I just got chills hearing you explain it.
Yeah, I just, and also, especially this morning when I went back and listened through the record again, like I'm very in my feelings today. So listening to it, I was like, oh, this makes me happy.
I love it. That makes me happy. I mean, that was really the goal with this record, is to get so up in your feelings. So I'm so glad I did my job. That's awesome.
I mean, I haven't cried yet today, but anything's possible.
Yeah, go listen to Lonely together and
well,
like your mom or something. That'll do it.
Well, and that's the thing with Lonely Together. It made me think about, and I know you did the series with people, the Instagram series. I feel like that song took on a whole new meaning because you released this album initially right as quarantine was starting.
Yeah, man. 2020. What a weird one. We were out on the road with Little Big Town at the top of this year, getting ready to promote and release this record. And then on March 13th was when the album was released. And it was literally like 2 days before we were called off the road and, you know, just started staying home. And so it was a very, very bizarre time to release a record. But, you know, Lonely Together, which is the last song on the record, became an Instagram live series, which for me, you know, I'm a people person. I love hanging out with humans. I need human contact. And so for me, like, this was my, you know, socialization and my connectivity, like my connection during that stay home time. And really the song took on a crazy new meaning. Like you were saying, you know, it was originally written about being on the road and missing my community at home, but grateful that I get to do it with my family. And so we're, in a sense, lonely out on the road, but at least we get to do it together.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden quarantine happened and all of these people start direct messaging me like, oh my gosh, I'm sitting on the couch with my husband and this is our new theme song for this season. And I mean, it really just started speaking to like, okay, we all have to do this quarantine thing. It really sucks. We're really lonely, but at least we're all in this together, right?
Right.
Kind of crazy.
Like, that was the thing I feel like made quarantine easier, for lack of it. It made it a little bit easier knowing that everyone, we were all on the same playing field in that respect.
Totally.
Like, we were all having to do this together.
Yes. It made it hurt a little less.
A smidge less. Just a smidge.
It's still really hard, huh?
So I was wondering about this record, Supernova, because I actually, fun fact, was on a tour with your producer, Paul Moak, a long time ago. I was his guitar tech. I didn't know anything about being a guitar tech, but I was his guitar tech. Yeah.
What?
We were on the road on this tour. And so it was kind of, you know, watching Paul's creative process. I know that, you know, these songs, I can hear like the way that Paul's creative process works within the context of this. And it's like, I know that these songs, if you were doing them live every night, they would be mutating and changing and taking on different lives of their own. Because right. that's, you know, that's watching that process on the road with Paul all those years ago, it's really exciting. So how has your relationship with these songs been different being in quarantine as opposed to if you were on the road with them, living and breathing them every day?
Totally. First off, I love Paul Moak so much. He's the very, very best.
He's an angel.
He's an absolute angel human. And so, so grateful to know him. You know, I actually just talked to him like last week about this because he was asking me like, how do these songs, like, because normally you release a record and then you bring it on the road and kind of get it out of your system in a way. Like you play through the songs, tell that part of your story and that chapter of your story. And then you kind of like, all right, I think I'm like done with these songs. And that leads you to write a new record, right? It's interesting because I haven't had a lot of time, right? We only had the first few months of this year to really do that. And the record wasn't even out. But the songs have also all morphed to like acoustic at home versions, of course. Mm-hmm. So as far as like musically morphing, like they've all gone to the, like the stripped down version of exactly how I wrote them, which is very interesting because I feel like with this record, I wanted to push myself, take risks. I, you know, pushed for bigger production and more cinematic sound and just kind of was envisioning, you know, just a bigger show. And so it's very funny that I released this like bigger record in my mind. And then the way that I'm performing it, it's just this teeny tiny way of me, my piano, which to be honest, that's the way that I love to perform music anyway.
Yeah.
So,
right.
But they've morphed for sure in a different way. I'm not sick of them yet, but it's different like playing the songs for people on a screen or for an Instagram live where you can see the comments, but you can't see the faces, which is
right. Which is so weird.
It's very, very weird. And so like being able to pour them out is a totally different experience this time around.
Do you feel like you've had to tap into something different inside of you on these Instagram lives or a Zoom call or whatever it is versus obviously I know just from watching you on stage, you're a very physical performer on stage. Are you having to tap into something different?
Yeah. I mean, definitely. I think there's something magical. I mean, and maybe just because I miss it like crazy, but there's something so magical about stepping on a stage and everybody gets quiet and then you're able to break your heart open in front of a crowded room. Like there's an energy that you get and there's an energy that you're able to give. That's this musical dance that like we're all in this same room together experiencing this. Mm-hmm. And it's in like holy in a way. I like,
yes, it's a spiritual experience.
It's a spiritual experience for sure. And so, you know, now living the best Zoom life that I possibly can, it's different because I want to give that to people still. And so, you know, when I perform, I'm still like doing my best to like pull from my toes and pull from the, you know, the strings of my heart to try and push it out. But you can only do so much, you know, I try to still use the same muscles, but it definitely like, and then there's that high, if you like play a couple shows, like on an Instagram live and then you're like, okay, bye. And you turn it off. And it's like, the energy that is like, it's like very weird. There's no like come down or anything. And like, it's odd.
I think that's why I napped. That's totally why I napped yesterday, because I had this other session where I was recording something and I got like amped up before. I watched some Tina Turner and got amped up, and then I did it. And then I'm home by myself and I'm just like, you know, so it's weird. I think there is something about like not getting that interaction with people definitely wears you out more, I feel like, because you're...
I don't know why it's more exhausting. Like, maybe because you're putting extra energy into putting, like...
Yeah, I think it's...
I don't know.
Yeah, and I also read something that we're overcoming being in the same room. There's a lot of nonverbal communication that we're just missing out on. So we're having to compensate for not having that by like really being present here to make sure that our tone and everything, we're getting our point across, and that takes extra brain energy. Yeah. And it's just, you know, so that's why it was one of Zoom life wear me out, you know,
wears me out.
It totally does. And, you know, I've been, you know, I'm a little busy bee. So as soon as quarantine started in March, I just went right into writing. Cause I'm like, I got to do something.
Yeah.
To just keep going and also just not shut off that creative faucet. And so I started songwriting 3 days a week on Zoom, and it's fine, but it's way more exhausting.
Yeah.
Like, I'll get in a couple hour session and be done, and I'll feel like I just like ran a half marathon or something. Like,
right. Well, but I also think too, for us being extroverts, like, I feed off other people's energy. I love being around people. And so, as you guys were just talking about this, I was thinking about last night. I went to Zany's. A friend of mine was doing a show there, and just sitting in the room with people and laughing, I'm like,
wow, did you cry? Because it was so nice.
I mean, I'm probably going to cry today. Like,
yeah. Girl, you're gonna.
I know. I feel it coming. Hunter can tell with me now after a couple of years of us doing this show and being friends for so long that he's like, are you about to cry?
Today's your cry day. It's all right. I'll be there right with you.
Which is great, because we have a photo shoot later, so it's going to go really
puffy.
Well,
I've got a big zit, so everything's going great.
But yeah, that was just a thing, sitting in a room with all of these people, and then obviously watching my friend John on stage and doing so great, and then being at a table with our other friends. But I'm like, there's just something about being in a room with people and the energy and the camaraderie. And until you were just talking about in the way that you were, I'm like, oh, forget how much I miss it. Like,
big time.
And maybe that's why I feel sad today. Like, that I really don't know why.
I know. And it's
I want more of it. I want more of that kind of interaction, I guess.
Exactly. Like, I mean, I think about it probably every day of just like playing shows and how it's like such a mourning process this year.
Yeah.
But also, like, I was thinking yesterday, man, like, shame on me for ever taking it for granted. Like, it's like standing in a room with like people withholding your, you know, tequila soda and listening to live music. Like, I just want to go to the Basement East right now and like drink too much and cry to a friend's music.
So wait, has it been rebuilt?
Well, no,
it's almost
done. Okay. That's like one of my favorite places.
I know. It's like, because we also had a tornado here in Nashville.
I know.
Well, and I love the image on Basement East of I believe in Nashville still standing after the tornado.
You can't make that.
No.
that was still standing.
But that's the thing. A friend of mine said to me the other day, she's like, Ashley, I don't think I've recovered from the tornado. And I'm like, how was that 6 months ago?
Yeah.
It's weird. You know, I go through the path here in East Nashville to go to the grocery store. And it's really weird, because that area at Five Points over there, that used to be a real home base for me. And then it kind of shifted for a while. And disorienting, but we're here. We're showing up.
We're showing up.
It's what Winona says to do.
Exactly.
Just show up. But it makes me think about even just how much Nashville has changed. How long have you lived here?
Oh yeah, you totally write about this. On 20 Minute Town.
I can't. I mean, it's been a decade of love affair with Nashville. And I write about it a lot. I don't know why. It's just like the town that has made me and broken me and made me stronger and made me want to go home, all the things, right? But in the song I Can't, which I'm so excited, I mean, to be releasing that with Old Dominion on Friday. I'm like,
yes,
beyond excited that they're hopping on the song. But
which by the time we release this next Tuesday, the song will be out. So you guys can listen to this. And yes. Go. Yeah.
So listen. Okay. So, I mean, I can't, the idea came from driving by downtown Nashville. And, you know, I moved there 10 years ago and moved to town. And so it's changed a lot.
Yeah.
Right.
New buildings. Well, and
I say, Hunter, how long have you been here?
21 years.
And I'm going on, I mean, if I count MTSU or not.
To count MTSU, I was counting Belmont.
I would say it's like 20, 21. Yeah. So it's crazy, especially in the last 10 years. And I moved to LA for a couple of years, like 10 years ago, and came back after 2 years. But it's crazy to see how much the city has changed. So just listening to that song, there's so much of it sometimes where I'll be driving around town. I'm like, I kind of miss old Nashville.
Right.
Like I miss all the buildings on Music Row that have now been turned into high rises. Like I miss just kind of that old history we have.
I mean, and honestly, there's like, there is a beauty in change and in progressing mm-hmm. and growing. Like I hope that for every person that's the path they continue on. And it is a beautiful thing to watch a city, like at least we're going that way and not right the mm-hmm. other way. And so, you know, but change, like, I mean, that's what the song is talking about. It's talking about the city changing, but also like, I'm not the same girl that first stepped foot in Nashville. And thank God same. That I'm not. But sometimes that change, ugh, so painful. And it seems like a mountain I couldn't climb. And it feels like I couldn't do it. I feel like, and everybody feels that if there's like a big thing that you've got to tackle, it's like, I can't do it. This is too hard. But the truth is you can. Maybe the song should have been called I Can, but.
I cannot.
Like, what do you feel like are some of the things that you thought I can't do that you've been able to do in the last 10 years?
Honestly, I can't tell you how many times I just didn't know if I could actually be an artist. Mm-hmm. And even like, being in Nashville and continuing to make music my job. Like I've had so many nights where I've come home crying after a session and told my husband, I can't do it anymore. I can't hear no another time. Why am I even chasing this artist thing? This seems silly. It's never going to happen. Like we all do that negative talk that happens. So I've been guilty of that a lot in life, but a lot of it's been about my career. I mean, some of it was even like, I didn't think that I could be a mom and have a career at the same time. Like there were so many things that I had in my brain that was like, you can't do both. Like you can't have that. Like, you know?
Yeah.
And honestly, my career didn't really even start until I had kids. So that's kind of weird. It's just like, right.
It's so interesting because Mickey Guyton was talking about that recently, just like this, when she found out she was pregnant, this fear of, well, wait, things are taking off. And what if that means, oh, but because I feel like at least for me growing up in the business side of this business, there are so many times where I was like, well, gosh, if I get married and have kids, then can I still have a career in this business? And we know that you can, but it's hard right. because there's so many messages within the industry that tell you you can't.
Totally. Absolutely. And I mean, I've come up to that a lot, yeah. like in the last 10 years. But the beautiful thing that I've learned is that you just, if you want to, then you make space.
Yeah.
And like, you know, if you keep having good boundaries at like the forefront of all the things you're doing, like you make space to do it all. To be the mom, to be the wife, and to, you know, put on some lipstick and heels and be the rock star on stage. I don't know.
We can do it all. Thank you.
We can do it all, right?
That's what we're getting to. We can do it all. And if you're listening to this and you're thinking, gosh, I can't do it, or you're having the same thoughts, just know that you can.
Totally. I'm very like, I love to sit down and like plan out my week. I'm very like organized in that way and very goal oriented too. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's just like, you got to shrink it down to baby steps if that's, you know, to meet your goals. And I'm constantly just trying to make sure I'm making room for all the things. And so if it's too much work, nope, cancel those things, take my kids to the park day. You know what I mean? And so, yeah. But it's a daily choice and it's a daily struggle for sure. But if you want it, then you can make it happen, right?
Yeah.
So, amen.
In the last few years watching you with Starfire and then Supernova, it's been really interesting because you're here in Nashville, but you're not, it's like, I feel like maybe after you have a hit song with Kenny and Dolly, Cassidy Pope, which we're going to talk about, of course, that you might, you know, it might be like, okay, well, like, I'm here in Nashville. I have all these connections. You know, maybe I should force myself to go into country and maybe do that. So I'm curious, what was the process of you finding yourself as an artist and kind of forging this path? Because it isn't the path of least resistance. I mean, it's definitely staying true to your art and who you feel
definitely.
You are.
And I call it the long and winding road. You know, because I started off, if we back up even before Nashville, you know, I started off singing at a really young age and I started singing country music. And then I started writing songs and it was like kind of country, but not mm-hmm. really, like leaning kind of folk. And then, you know, moved to Nashville and I took a break from the stage because what I noticed is like, you can have the best voice, but if you don't have the songs, mm-hmm. then like, what are you doing? And so I focused on writing for a few years and started getting cuts, you know, primarily in country. And so I was like, well, okay, maybe I should just make a country record. I'm in Nashville. And so I did. I made a whole record that was very country, like fiddles and banjos and everything. And I pitched it around every label in Nashville. And instead of getting signed, which is kind of what I was hoping, the labels were like, oh my God, I love these songs. Can I cut this song on our new artist that we just signed over here? And so I ended up on that record, never releasing it, but I got two top tens with Cassidy Pope, Wasting All These Tears, and Daniel Bradbury, Heart of Dixie. And so both of those were on that record. And I was like, okay, all right. I don't really know what I'm doing here. And it just took me a while to figure out, you know, what I wanted to sound like as an artist, what I wanted to say, especially saying things for so many other people for mm-hmm. so long. And so it really took like all of those closed doors for me to kind of sit back and go, well, I can't get a record deal, but maybe I'll just take my own money that I've made from all these songs over here and make my own record of just music that I love. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of took me like falling on my ass to kind of just be like, you know what? I'm going to do this for me.
Yeah.
And that's where Starfire came from. I mean, that's where the song came from, is kind of that whole season. A lot of songs on that record came from just kind of like the struggle to get there. You know, and so then I went in with Paul Moak, and Paul really kind of helped me find my compass too, because he's like, you know, you can write a pop song, you can write a folk song, you can write a country song. Like, I write all over the map. He's like, let's try and find songs that only you can sing, which I loved. And so then you get, you know, quirky songs like Scenes from a Corner Booth at Closing Time on a Tuesday. He's like, who's going to cut that? He's like, you need to cut that. And so I'm very, very grateful for like Paul's guidance and friendship to pull that out of me and kind of just help me see, like, I'm just going to make music that I love and not think about a label or radio or anything. Just do it. And so now here we are.
Well, and that's great because it's like you're totally being yourself. And do you find that has really made the connection with your audience? Like, there's no barrier there. There's no like, oh my gosh, I'm trying to fit into this mold that I'm not 100% maybe.
I feel like, absolutely. And I feel like I've kind of carved out this like lane of vulnerability. And that's kind of like my goal as an artist, is just like, hey everyone, I'm just this mom that hauls her kids around her husband. We're a show, but you know, that's cool. But like, I'm just going to share some songs about my life with you. And I feel like people really connect with it because it's real and raw and yeah.
When they see themselves probably in some of it. I mean, I think that's why the songs that we connect to, why we connect, is if we see ourselves or our story in them. And especially in this time of like the Instagram perfect world where everything's filtered and everything's a perfect feed. Like, I think that's the stuff I connect to more than anything else, is when people are just being real and raw, whether it's there or in a song from their experience. I'm like,
totally.
Amen. Because at least
we want to know that we're not the only show out there, right? We want to know that there's other people on the struggle bus.
I mean, and are there ever? There's just not a ton of people that admit it. And so for the people that admit it, I'm like,
totally.
That's where I connect. I'm like, give me this is where I learn, this is where I grow. And then, and the reality is at this point, we're all at an ages where we've lived some life. So that's where I connect to people that
totally
are being honest about their experience.
Absolutely. And like, I mean, that brings me to think about, you know, this newest record, Supernova. And I was like, okay, where do I go? Like, I told the start of my story with Starfire, like, where do we bring it? You know, and I had this songwriter mentor tell me, like, if you can't think of anything to write about, then you're not paying attention, which I always go to when I think I have writer's block. Because I sat down and I looked at what is going on in my life here. I'm like, oh, well, you just had a human. You're trying to figure out your life. You're anxious as hell. Like, you need to deal with your anxiety. Like, I was in a season of like a lot of personal excavation, like just trying to become a better version. And so I'm like, let's write about that. People get that. Like, and you know, kind of told my story on this record of like looking in the mirror and kind of breaking up with the parts of myself that I don't want there. So,
Now I'm going to start crying. It's fine.
Yeah. Okay. And then, Ashley, I think lane of vulnerability is a phrase that you can use for life that Caitlin just threw out.
Listen.
Lane of vulnerability.
Brene Brown's work.
I'm in this lane of vulnerability.
Brene Brown's work has changed my life, got me back into therapy. And it's just the last few years' journey. It's kind of what you're talking about, like the unearthing and bringing things out and then letting go of the things that no longer serve me and the lies that I believed. I mean, it's an ongoing journey. It's not like all of a sudden you arrive and you're like, oh, things are great and I'm perfect. But anytime we talk about vulnerability, I will pull a quote from a Brené Brown book.
Oh, very
therapy.
Good. Yes.
At any point in time. Like,
amazing.
Honestly, I typically behind me have, because my dining room's turned into my office during all of this. So I have these huge, like big pieces of paper and I always take them down when we do interviews. Cause I'm like, it just looks weird having these. It's like quotes from like Glennon Doyle, Oprah. Yeah. Renee.
I mean, you should leave them up. You should just send them to me. I want to see.
Yeah. Oh, I'll send them to you.
Okay, good.
It was there, Sue Monk Kidge and Hatmaker. There's some real good ones over here. But so that I stay, like, especially in this place in my dining room, trying to work in this crazy. Yes.
Well, it takes constant reminders.
Yeah.
And it's constant work too. I mean, that's what I've learned over the last few years. It kicked off with reading this book called Feeling Good about cognitive behavioral therapy, which is about paying attention to the thoughts that are going on between your ears. And really deciphering, like, okay, is this thought that's going in my head, like, actually the truth? Because so often we lie to ourselves. We discount the positive. We are mind reading. We're like, oh, they're mad at me. That's why they're not texting me. And then really they're just busy. You're causing yourself pain. Like, so anyways, there's so many things that we do to lie to ourselves. And so even just knowing what those things are, like, can help you, like, tenfold. Oh. Like
100%.
But it's a daily thing because you can all of a sudden get in your routine and get lazy. And then all of a sudden you're like a total jerk to people around you. And you're like, oh yeah, that's because I haven't been doing the work. So
amen.
Life.
Preach, sister, preach. I do want to talk about the song Long Time Coming because, oh man, it's like I went from I can't into Long Time Coming. And then I was like, where in the world is she going to go from here? Like, it was that song, the guitar solo in it. I mean, there's just like, it's so good.
I'm obsessed with that guitar solo. And that was actually like in the moment we wrote the song, we were kind of tracking it at the same time we were writing it. And we were like, we need a crazy guitar solo. And the producer, like, who's like, done. And this is Leggy Landon that was cutting this. And he like turned around his producer chair, like away from us. And he like, deadpan, he just like plays the solo and it sounds so painful and heartbreaking, but he was literally like,
nah. Right, you expect that he has the look,
the stank face,
like John Mayer does when he's playing.
He's like that's the picture. He was literally just like, and then he hit the space, it was like something like that, and we're like, ah, that was insane. Never change that. It was like so gut-wrenching and painful. But I love that song, and for me, like, it's in the same vein of what we're talking about here about.
Yeah,
it can sound like a breakup song, which, I mean, the producer that I wrote it with, Leggy, was going through a breakup, and So it's kind of pulling a little bit from that, but I was like, but what am I going through? Oh, like it's been a long time coming to like get rid of like the yucky parts that I don't have, you know? And so it's about looking in the mirror again. And also so fun to sing.
Oh, I can imagine.
Well, I do want to ask about that because it's something where I imagine that your voice can be really big and you can go really high and expressive, but there's a whole process to writing for that. I wonder if that was something that you had to, did it come naturally in your melodies that you were writing for your voice to have those moments? Or was it something like, okay, I need to be more cognizant of this to write these moments for my voice? Yeah. Because that's a process, I think.
It is a process. I think it definitely took, years and years of writing and trying to try and figure out how to use it most effectively. Because you don't want to just be like, yeah,
all the time. Like, look what I can do. Yeah. There's nothing exactly sexier than restraint.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Exactly. And so, you know.
Put that on a t-shirt, Hunter.
I love that. It's so good. But it's so true. It's so true. And so like just even learning like, and a lot of the songs on the record kind of follow this formula of like the beginning is like kind of pulling them in, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of down here, we're telling the story. And then it's like emotion. Like we're like, you know, getting to there. But then we tell a little bit more of the story down here, you know? So a lot of the songs like kind of follow that arc, which I think is like a storyteller arc. I don't know, but it did take some time to figure out how to do that for sure.
One of my favorite songs on the record that's become, as I've listened more and more, has really started to stand out with me is Feel That Way, which you wrote with Ashley Monroe.
Yeah.
What's it like to write with her? I just, you know, because she's one of those people I'm so grateful that she's here in Nashville while we are, you know?
She is an absolute angel human, and I am just... I'm so obsessed with her. I love her so much.
Me too.
And so it was such a special day because it was Valentine's Day. And, you know, she had just gotten back from Europe. And, you know, she comes in and she's just like, it's just such a vibe. She's got, you know, just such a like a little hippie. And we're just, you know, smoking a little J and writing about our husbands that day. Like, what kind of like beautiful, weird thing can we come up with today? And it was so awesome because that first melody of that, you know, a Feel That Way, like hold in my breath just to keep it in while I spin. Like, it's so weird.
Yeah.
And that's her. That's all her. Like, she had that melody and I was like, whoa, what is that witchcraft that you're playing? But I think it's a perfect combo because we've got her like crazy weird melody. And I was like, all right, let's make kind of this throwback chorus. So you can really hear like, you made me feel like that's like very Caitlin-y, I feel like. And so it was a magical day of just like trying to be just, you know, going with the flow. And, you know, we wrote with Brock Berryhill, who's also another magical human. And I mean, writing with her any day is special. So
did y'all sing together at all? Because in my head, I'm really wanting to hear your voices blend so badly.
Yeah, you know, I know we sang the demo together and it was silly of me. I should have just asked if she'd cut it on the record. We need to do that. We need to do a version together.
Well, just because you both have such range in the high parts of your voice, I think y'all could do some really arresting harmonies.
It's like, it's so fun to sing with her.
Yeah.
I can't even tell you because her voice is so like enchanting.
She's got this quality. It's kind of like Dolly Parton. Yeah. Like there's something unspoken, but it's that East Tennessee mountain kind of thing going on. Do you know the song Wildflowers, which was on the Trio record? Dolly sang it. Dolly. I've been trying. It is my life's goal to get Ashley to cover that song because it is just, it's Dolly wrote it and it was supposed to be in Dolly's musical in the 80s, which Dolly's been working on forever. But yes, it's my life's goal. Wildflowers. Yes. Oh my gosh. You'll identify with that song so much because it's, you know, it's about moving to a different town to find your people. You know, it's like moving to Nashville and finding our creative community.
I love it. Okay. I'm going to go listen to it immediately after this. And then I'm going to call Ash and be like, you want to do cover with me?
let's do crazy harmonies on covers. Let's do
it. That's awesome.
Did you ever feel that? Did you feel that though, moving to Nashville, like finding, you know, a creative community? Because growing up, you grew up in Minnesota, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love Minnesota and they are my people, but there was something so intriguing about Nashville. Like the first time I visited, you know, I knew it was Music City, but I didn't know there was such an intense like songwriting community. Mm-hmm. And so I remember as like, I think my first trip, I was 16 being like, what? There's other people that are just like me that are doing this thing as a job. Yeah. Like, nuts. So I definitely felt at home like immediately and fell in love. So the best place.
100%. It's such a good community of people. Yeah. It really is.
I agree. And I mean, another beautiful part about Nashville, I mean, the high density of creatives, but people are genuinely like helpful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like it's a connections town where like, and people want to introduce you to, you know, so like you meet one person and all of a sudden, like you meet your people, like, and so it was really beautiful because every time I take a trip, I'd meet someone, you know, and then they'd introduce me to five people. And so then the next trip I take, you know, you have 10 people to meet. And it's very, very cool because everybody is like so kind.
Yes.
Right.
And if they're not, we're like, I don't have time for this.
No.
No.
Later.
Yeah. It's like, get with the program. We're nice, damn it. This is Nashville.
We're nice.
Nashville nice.
On the Lonely Together conversation series that you did, you had Karen Fairchild, Brandi Clark, Lori McKenna, Ingrid Andress, Cam, which I listened to the one with Cam. It was so good. Tennille Towns, Lucy Silvas, who I love.
Angel.
Yeah, y'all are really, you and Lucy, do you feel a kindred spirit? Because I feel like musically.
Remind me of each other.
Y'all are so connected. They're so connected.
She's like a soul sister for sure. Like every time we're able to like write, or even just if she plays like a Girls in Nashville show or just hanging in a room, like both of our hearts, I feel like are exploding. A big love for each other. Totally.
Oh my God. Is Lucy the third? Is Lucy the third in your Ashley Monroe? Oh my God.
That would be magic.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I know Ashley's already in Pistolini's, but it's not like they're full time, you know.
I mean, she could sing a song with us.
I'm here for every bit of this.
This is
every
really exciting.
I just love harmonies. I love harmonies, you know?
I mean, I think even sitting in a room and writing with those two, that needs to happen.
Combo.
Yes.
Thank you for that, Hunter.
Well, you all just bring such different things, but you're all so like work together so well.
Complimentary.
Yeah. That I just think it could be really, it could really be like a Fleetwood Mac kind of thing where you all kind of have your own thing, but then you compliment each other, you know? That's why listening to a Fleetwood Mac record is so great, because you've got Stevie and Lindsey being so like, and then you got Christy McVie up here, but, you know, but like Lindsey's being weird and then Stevie's a witch. You know, so it's
so true. You hear all of that.
Yeah,
right?
You hear all of it. So anything that keeps artistry weird and different in Nashville, I'm all about, you know?
I just got really excited. This needs to happen.
Yeah. I'm always like, oh, keep it weird. Keep it
Yeah. Keep it weird. I love it.
Okay. What do you feel like you learned most through doing this interview series, or what did you enjoy most about doing it?
Man, I mean, it was a very soul filling series just because it was such a hard time. And so being able to like connect weekly with, you know, these women, and I had a couple dudes on the show, but it was mostly chicks that I just adore. And like, they all inspire me. And it was very, very fun to also then try to inspire other people.
Yeah.
See a light. I mean, I learned a ton, but it kind of kept me going in a way.
Yeah. We need that soul fill.
It was a soul fill. And like, honestly, we just talked about kind of what inspires us. And it was kind of my, you know, cause as a creative, like you have to fill up before you can pour out, right?
Right.
If your cup is empty, you're not going to be able to write great songs. And so I felt like every week it was like my fill up, right? Where I was like finding ways to be inspired again to keep going. So.
That's so true. You can't put, what's the word? I don't want to say this. It almost came out in a really inappropriate way.
Oh, good. Great.
Right. Exactly. But it's true though. As a creative, it's like, even when we're going in to do interviews or just work in general, it's like, if I'm not filling my tank up, I can't give. I can't connect in the way that I want to.
Exactly.
So I think with the inability to travel or really be as mobile as we used to be, and also just with life on Earth right now, very difficult on many fronts, I have really found a lot of, it stokes my imagination, but also gives me a bigger perspective, like watching documentaries on space and other planets. And so so to have your album Starfire and the Supernova, I'm just like, I wonder, are you into like watching stuff on space and just getting that bigger perspective?
I mean, I guess I haven't gone on a ton of deep dives of documentaries, but I would be super into that. I'm definitely into like, you know, nerdy space stuff and nature. I'm a very like hippie nature girl. But yeah, I mean, I'm obsessed with the stars, and mm-hmm. I actually can't believe that a supernova is even a real thing that exists in our, like, what in like, honestly, you can't even make this up. Like in the final like expression of a star, it just like shines as bright and colorful and wild as you can even like imagine. It's like, have you gone on deep dives of looking up supernovas? Because it's insane.
No, but now I want to.
I need to. I watched a documentary on the sun, and just the amount of energy within the sun constantly go, and you know, it's just mind-boggling, the amount of the energy, you know, that keeps us all alive here.
It keeps us alive for sure. And it's like, without that bright shining star that's constantly we wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it is all fascinating to me, and I'm a stargazer. I love to go out into the country and, you know, get away from like the city light pollution and be able to see all the stars. And I've got all the star apps on my phone.
Well, you have like when you were doing the album live, Side A and Side B, I noticed there was a star quilt or something behind you, or a hanging.
Yeah. It's actually a cape that I repurposed for a backdrop.
Yeah, so you did. Well, you're creative.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, I'm just obsessed with all of that. I can't even believe that it's out there, and it makes me really feel my humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Like looking at the stars is like, wow, like it makes you feel so small.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then it also makes me feel like also so like I've got to do the best with this sweet little life that mm-hmm. I have.
Yeah.
It like kind of clicks everything back into place.
Yeah. And it helps me to take a wider view of things instead of just. And it reminds me of the Bette Midler hit From a Distance. But as I've grown up, that song, I've loved that song.
I sang, watching us.
God, from a distance.
Watching us.
It really is. You know, when I sang that a lot in elementary school, that was one of my hits. But,
you know, I'm pretty sure I sang that in a recital.
Yeah, we all did. But growing up now, it's like, oh, yeah, like taking that wider view and realizing, because it helps you get up from just like, when you're so focused in on your little, your little
totally.
Thing.
You know, and I'm a very spiritual person, and I believe that like all of this is for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
When I stare at the stars, I have really, it just solidifies that for me. Like, there's no way this shit's made up. Are you kidding me? Like,
right.
How is this so perfect and so beautiful and so outrageous? Like, and so it really helps. Like staring at the sky honestly really helps remind me of like my purpose here.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to need a title for the next record. So go ahead and watch some of those space documentaries.
Yes. I know. Am I the star lady? Do I got to stick with this space theme?
Hey, stick with the theme. That's fine.
It's a great theme. It's expansive.
It. Yes.
I mean, the only other star song I can think of is Grace Potter. Stars.
Oh, that's such a good one.
You know Simply Red? Great. Stars? Simply Red? It was in the early 90s. Mostly British artists, but...
No.
Hunter can pull any obscure thing you have never
heard. I love it.
All the time.
Yeah.
Like an encyclopedia.
I can make you a mix. I can always make you a mix.
Please do.
Yeah.
I would love it.
So you wrote the song, like, I'm Gonna Lose You, which Meghan Trainor recorded, and it was a duet with John Legend. And... one, I just love this song. And two, John Legend singing on anything. And Meghan. I mean, she's amazing. John Legend singing on anything is like butter.
Crazy. It's his voice is like out of this world. Like sometimes when I write songs, I just like picture his voice in my head. I don't know why. And it instantly makes the song better. But yeah, I mean, we wrote that song years ago before Megan even got a record deal. She was just going back and forth from Nantucket to Nashville and writing. And,
right.
You know, she had had a dream that the night before, I think that she like lost her brother and she woke up really freaked out. And so I remember we were talking about that and we're like, I think this is what we write about today. Like, and so that's what the first verse is like. I found myself dreaming in silver and gold, a scene from a movie. Like that's just talking about a dream where we're dancing in moonlight. I lose you. And yeah. I wake up freaked out. So that, I mean, we really just wrote her story, but it's crazy because we had no idea. I mean, we were thinking, we thought we were writing a song for like Kelly Clarkson or something. Like we weren't
right.
We had no idea. And then all of a sudden, I guess the story of it goes is that like I sang the demo, Megan played it on ukulele, which is hilarious. I love it. But her uncle had a copy of the demo and like he was like, please, please, please record this song and like wouldn't let it go. And so thanks to her uncle, Trainer, whatever.
I mean,
she got the song, called up John, which I couldn't have even imagined in a million years. And then it became my first number one, you guys. So
that's awesome.
She's incredible.
So cool.
I don't think I realized that was your first number one. But now that you say that, yeah, that would be that's right. So I mean, cool. You would know. I'm just saying, like, oh, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, so cool. It was just wild.
It's incredible.
It was really nuts getting ready for this interview because I guess I maybe knew it at one point that you were a writer on You Can't Make Old Friends, Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers.
Yes.
And first of all, the fact that you wrote that when you were so young, like this is a song that for them, it really sums up their entire friendship, especially now that Kenny's gone. Mm-hmm. It's like, when I hear that song, it's so precious because they really worked together for so long.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about some wisdom coming through a young vessel. How did that happen? Yeah.
Well, this was it was a crazy story. But, you know, earlier when we were talking about my songwriter mentor, I didn't mention it was Don Schlitz, kind of took me under his wing when I first
went
to Nashville and really taught me the ropes in songwriting. And I honestly couldn't have asked for a better mentor and a teacher. And so, you know, Don has, for those of people who listening who don't know, has written songs like The Gambler, Forever and Ever Amen, When You Say Nothing at All.
A bunch of Jed's hits.
I mean, yeah, he is one of my favorite songwriters of all time. And so the story of this song goes, Don was being inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. And I think Kenny was there presenting. And Kenny actually pulled Don aside and said, hey, I've got a title for you. It's called You Can't Make Old Friends. Will you write it for me? He was like, yeah, I'll write that for you. And it just so happens that like I was like the next person on Don's book, and he could have written the song by himself for sure, but so graciously pulled me in on the idea. And so we wrote the song together. And I mean, I remember we wrote the song and we were like, wow, like I just, you know, we finished it and stepped back and we're like, this is emotional. This is really emotional. And we emailed it to Kenny and we didn't hear anything back for like 6 months. We're like, oh, I guess it didn't like it. Like, I don't know. And then all of a sudden we, you know, I think it was a year later, I was having breakfast with my publisher at this place called Nashville in
Nashville.
You guys remember Nashville?
Oh, yeah.
It was April Fool's Day. And he goes, hey, you hear about your song, Can't Make Old Friends? What Kenny's doing with it? And I was like, what? He was like, they're pulling Dolly Parton on the song. And I was like, if this is an April Fool's Day joke, this is the meanest joke you would ever pull on me. Like, I called him like 4 times that day. I'm like, are you serious? Like, is that a joke? Are you for real? Like, I just couldn't even believe it. And honestly, it's like a bucket list thing that you couldn't even pretend, like I wouldn't even have put that on my bucket list because I didn't even think it was possible, like to have those magical voices. And I'm just honored and still shook that those two recorded the song. And
And when I think about that song, like I have a video that I took at his retirement show of him and Dolly singing that song together on stage I need to send it to you. It's like,
please, will you send it to me, please? Yes,
I will find it and send it to you. God. It is just the most precious. It's just precious. The two of them singing that together. And I mean, as much as we all love Dolly and Kenny separately, like, and like Hunter talking about their friendship, it's just, it was so special to be able to witness that moment and just that entire show and watching people getting to honor, you know, and celebrate Kenny, but especially Dolly.
Totally.
So sweet. I need to find it and I'll send it
it's
to you.
So,
I think
so
I posted sweet. It like, oh, I think when he passed away, I posted, I can't remember, but I'll find it.
2020, man.
I know.
I just had a flashback to that show on the red carpet. It was a crazy night because it was like, I was on the red carpet and it was like Winona and Naomi together and then Kenny and Dolly. So it was like right in front of me was the Judds and then Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton. It was like my childhood all looking there. But it was kind of the thing of like, I know everybody was so reverent, I guess, with Kenny and Dolly, but they loved to cut up and have fun. So back in the 80s when they toured together, they had this idea that they were going to get this instant liposuction machine on the bus where they could just eat whatever they want and have instant liposuction.
Oh,
and
my
call
God.
It the Jiffy Suck.
Stop.
So I decided, well, I want to ask about if that's still in development. And their publicist just shot me a look and I'm like, calm down. That's fun.
They just die. Oh my
God. Well, I think Kenny was like, what? But Dolly was the one who remembered what I was talking about. But yeah, just weird stuff. Weird stuff.
They are icons. I mean, I haven't gotten to meet Dolly yet, but I've met Kenny one time. And he was, of course, it was so incredibly classic. I think he was in like a red velour jumpsuit. Like it was like,
yes. Like sounds right.
All the same color. Like it was, yeah, velour. And, you know, one of those, like he shakes your hands and he like talks so close talker, mm-hmm. grandpa, and one won't let go of your hand.
Yep.
Oh, just the sweetest. Sweetest.
Ooh, he's got a song that came out in 85 called Morning Desire.
Yes.
It's about sex in the morning.
Yes.
Go listen to that one. That's a good one.
Okay, done.
We're literally just building this new record right now that you and Lucy.
If you and Lucy and Ashley don't cover Morning Desire.
And then we'll have all three of you all together back on the podcast.
That sounds perfect.
We've had Lucy and it was so fun. God. So
I love it.
Hey, I have one more thing I wanted to ask Caitlin. So now that you have these two albums and you have this vein for yourself of like, you know, you have freedom to really do whatever you want. Do you see, like, I could see you at some point adding in those country sounds that you wanted to again, because do you see that is a part of your heart still loving those sounds?
So. I mean, I think, yeah, I was just going through, I love that you bring that up because I was literally just making a playlist for, like an Opry playlist for WSM 95 and listening to like Alison Krauss. Mm-hmm. That's where I even started falling in love with music. Willie Nelson, mm-hmm. Linda Ronstadt, like listening to like, you know, these legends that I grew up on. And I definitely was like, wow, like there's something really magical about some of that, like very rootsy country-ish production. And so I definitely have it in my mind. There'll be a record somewhere down the line. Yeah.
You've written hit country songs, so it just seems natural, you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of just like, you know, I like to kind of identify as like a multi-genre artist, mm-hmm. because I really, in like a week, I'll write like a soul song, a pop song, mm-hmm. a country song, and a like folky thing. And so, you know, I'm all over the map and I can kind of sing, I can kind of change my voice to sing all of that. But a lot of the songs that have been kind of coming out of this quarantine time too, is like, I'm kind of going back to like singer songwriter roots, just playing my guitar, like very, very like stripped down, which is funny because all these songs on Supernova have turned into stripped down things. And so I feel like, you know, it would be very, very natural, I think.
Wait, does Paul play steel guitar?
He does.
Yeah. Just make Smokey go get on the steel.
Yeah, exactly. Great idea. I love it.
Oh, my
awesome.
Goodness.
Well, this Ashley, has been so much else? Fun. We're in an hour and I have to use the bathroom, so.
Yeah, exactly. Guys, I could talk to you all for hours.
100%.
This is so fun.
Seriously.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Thank you, Caitlin. Thank you for keeping on and keeping on making music through all this. We yes. need it now more than ever.
I'm going to go be in my feelings a little bit more today.
Before our yeah. photo shoot, Ashley, you got to smile like a pageant queen you are.
Yes. Been there, lived that life.
Been there, lived yes.
Oh, thanks, Caitlin.
I'd like to hear about that, actually, Ashley.
Listen, that is
Miss that's, Tennessee, that's, honey.
Yeah, that's true. I was. So it's that's for another day.
Yeah.
Another
okay,
day.
Good.
That's all right. Awesome. Thank you, Caitlin.
All right. Thanks, thank Caitlin.
Guys. You all have a beautiful day.
Oh, Kenny and Dolly. I could talk about them forever.
Oh, yeah. I think, yeah, most people could, I guess. I think.
I know that you could.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Well, thank you, Caitlin Smith. Y'all go check out the expanded edition of her latest album, Supernova. And she's also on Instagram doing concerts, creating engaging content with star capes behind her.
Star capes behind her. You guys go follow Caitlin. It's at Caitlin Smith on Instagram and across yes. social media. So go follow her. Make sure, like Hunter said, check out the record Supernova. You can find us on social media at all our favorite people. You can find me at Ashley Eicher. You can find Hunter at Nashville HK. Make sure to subscribe.
Yes.
We don't want you to miss a single episode. I mean, if you care about us like we think you do. do you love, I'm coming up with new hard pitches.
This is hard. I mean, I have a book about emotional blackmail. I mean, maybe.
Did I just gaslight not realizing I was doing it?
I don't know. Maybe a little bit. No, not really. You're not gaslighting. It was just an ultimatum. We're throwing down the gauntlet.
No, we're not throwing down the gauntlet. All I'm saying is we would love for you to subscribe. We don't want you to miss a single episode.
Yeah, no pressure. But I mean, it's hard. We work hard on this. We're professionals.
We work hard. We love you guys. Where do I go from there?
I think you just wrap it up. I think.
Yeah, I think we just say we love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you next week.